ago, while I was in the state penitentiary, it was parole season. It was that time of the month where everybody was going to go up for parole. And I taught a Bible study there, and it was called Young and Aggressive. And we had one individual, one young man that had been studying and just really giving himself to God. And it wasn't for anything. He just wanted the peace of God in his life. And he was going up for the board. He had not been in any trouble. He had already been down for 2 years. And he was engaged. He asked his fiance to marry him over the phone. And she said yes. And we were excited for him just knowing that he was going to be released. And he went to the parole hearing, and everybody was praying, and we couldn't wait until he got out and seeing what was being said, and we couldn't find him after it was over. He had made his way back to the dorm, and he was just laying real still. A few hours later, we got word that he had been flopped, which means that he had been turned down for parole for another year and a half, 18 months. And I went to the chow hall. It was time to have dinner in the jail, in the prison. And my spiritual father at the time, Leroy Carter, may he rest in peace and God be happy with him. He came over to the table and he sat down and he said, I heard about your son in the Lord. And I said, yeah. He said, that's rough. I said, yes, sir. He said, so what are you going to teach about today? And I said, I had a message prepared, but I think I'm going to teach about when things don't work the way we think they ought to. And he said, that's good. And I said, but why? And he says, you always have to preach to the situation.
Yes, sir.
A couple of months ago, somebody very precious to us, my sister Ma Jackson, passed away. And to be quite honest, and I called Melinda and said this, I said, I'm sorry, if I would have just said her name, I wouldn't have made it through the service. But God said, this week, he said, you deal with this. You deal with this. I want to talk to you today from the title, subtitle. We're going to forego our grateful series today. And I want to talk to you from the topic, because I think you need to know, we are going to be all right. Amen. We are going to be all right. 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. I want to say it's good to see all the visitors in the house today. Good to see Kenny and Mokora. Good to see Algeria in the house. Bless God for you all being here today. Please keep Makora's family in your prayers as she's dealing with loss also. Precious, beautiful baby. But God is faithful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. It says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as indeed the rest of mankind do, who have no hope. I want you to underscore that word or write that word down, who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, so also God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For we say this to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. then we who are alive, who remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, I want you to write this word down, comfort one another with these words. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, so that, write this word down, you will not grieve, as indeed the rest of mankind do who have no, write this word down, hope. Therefore, write this word down, comfort one another with these words. May God add a blessing to the hearers, the readers, but most of all the doers of his word. Friday was a difficult day for growth, for the Growth Temple congregation. When we learned that a person who we loved dearly and worshiped with us had suddenly passed away. We all recognize that life can be cut short at any time, but when it happens without warning to a person so young whose family is our family, we struggle with our grief and we wonder how we can find hope and comfort. Kim's death affects not just family members and friends, but her absence affects Growth Temple. All of us will miss her. And I hope the message God has given me will strengthen all of us gathered here today. As always, in times like these, we turn to God's word for insight and courage. How many of you understand that God's word gives us the courage to be able to walk through any storm? If we didn't have God's word, we wouldn't have the courage of God to be able to even fathom walking through some of the things that life throws our way. I invite you to consider the words we find in a short New Testament letter written by the Apostle Paul to a congregation that was facing similar circumstances. Some of the number. That's that old school terminology. So some of the number had died and they were faced with the reality of that loss. So the question is, how can the community of faith keep its focus when death invades our congregation? And if we just being real, in the last 6 months, with the passing of Ma Brenda Jackson, and now with the passing of Kimberly Merle, I think it's safe to say, and you would all agree, that we have been hit with a series of blows. I want to highlight three words from this scripture as we consider what God might be saying to us today. Those words are grief, hope, and comfort. They will somewhat form the outline for today's message. Death brings grief. God gives hope, and the congregation will share comfort. Pastor, why are you preaching about this today? And you know you got a homegoing service coming up, because we need to start dealing with it. We find these thoughts in the paragraph that I read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that the church Paul was writing to, and at the time they were quite young. And if you read in Acts 17, you will see that the church was born in the midst of turmoil. You recall that Paul had traveled throughout throughout the known world to spread the good news of Jesus, and many people accepted his message, but there were some that opposed Paul and insisted that he was a threat to the government because he was around talking about another king, a king named Jesus. And some of these people formed a mob and they set the city upside down. And Paul had to leave the city and the new church after is just being there for 3 weeks. And after he left, we understand that the church evidently continued because later Paul sent one of his co-workers back to see how they was doing. And after that, Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonians in which we learn that all had not been well. The small church there had suffered some hard times because of their faith. The persecution that began when Paul was there had continued, and that reality sets the stage for our scripture today. Evidently, some of their number had died, possibly because of persecution. Members of the congregation may have been troubled by their death because they thought anyone who becomes a believer in Jesus should be spared of that kind of trouble. Even today, some people seem to think that Christians should not have to go through hard times. Whatever it was that happened, verse 13 tells us that the congregation was grieving. And Paul accepts that. He doesn't scold them for grieving. He doesn't say, get on with it or get over it, because the reality is that death brings grief. And many of us have experienced it on far too personal of a level. And we know how it feels. And think about the shock and disbelief we all felt when we first heard the news Friday. Maybe you said to yourself, this can't be. More than one person called Mary and I to confirm what they had heard was really true. And the reality is, denial is one of the first emotional responses we have when someone dies. It is the one way that we try to protect ourselves from the blow we feel so we can manage. We can do our best to manage our feelings. Another evidence of grief is it's the pain that we feel. Everywhere, can we just be real in here today? Everywhere we turn today, we are reminded that something is wrong. Not just one chair, but two chairs is empty. Two chairs, in fact. It's some folk that aren't here today. We will miss Kim, and we will miss meeting her for worship, just like we knew Mom Brenda. Her family will find it hard to gather without her, because now all of a sudden nothing is the same. Counselors, therapists tell us, though, that when the numbness is over and you begin to feel the pain, you are coming to terms with the enormity of the loss. Can I just go ahead and be real with you today? Pain really hurts. It is a part of the grieving process. And it's all right, beloved, to experience pain. Eventually, after the emotional highs and lows, the grief and the pain, we begin to move through the valley of the shadow of the death, and we begin to heal. I think one of the most important verses in the Bible is the one that describes the response of Jesus when he found out about the death of his dear friend Lazarus. The verse is only two words long, but it's powerful. The Bible says simply, Jesus wept. Jesus, he wept. That says a lot about his friendship with Lazarus. It says a lot about Jesus. Death brings grief. It is okay to grieve. It is okay to weep. We have permission to feel the pain. And let's not trip on ourselves because we feel bad. But there is a second important word here. The word is hope. Hallelujah. In the dark and troubled times, the question becomes, where do we find hope? And the answer is that God gives us hope. In verse 13, Paul tells the congregation in Thessalonica that yes, they can expect to grieve, but because they follow Jesus, they will do it in a different way than people who do not know God, because they have hope. When Paul preached about the gospel, he often emphasized hope. Several times in his letters, he underlines the hope that God's people have. Baby, you've got hope today. When Paul preached about the gospel, he often emphasized hope. For example, in Romans chapter 5, he says that we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. What is this hope based on? It is based on the fact that Jesus not only died as a sacrifice for our sin, but he arose from the dead. Those early Christians had this powerful awareness that God had reversed Jesus' crucifixion through the resurrection. What's that mean, Pastor? That means God has power over sin, death, and evil. And because Jesus rose from the dead, those who have died will also rise when Jesus rises again. You should have lost your mind right there. It lets you know that death ain't the final word. Death don't have the final word. Verse number 14, for since we believe, watch this, and I'm almost done. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him, watch this, those that have died. The important thing to understand is that God is in control. Maya and I were riding on our way today to church, and we were talking and we was talking about some things, and I said, she told me, she said, but you know, God is faithful. I said, yes, he is. And she said, and this blew my mind. She said, even when it don't look like it. I had the 15-year-old encouraging me this morning. She said, even when it don't look like it. She said, because, Daddy, if I'm just being real, it don't look like it right now. But I know that he is faithful. And every now and again, you just got to get out of yourself. You've got to come out of your feelings. You've got to come out of the pain. You've got to come out the misery that's trying to hijack your mind, and remember that no matter what's going on in your life, God is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful when it hurts. He's faithful when I'm in tears. He's faithful when my heart is in pieces. He's faithful when I'm confused. He's faithful when I don't understand. He's faithful when everything is crazy. He's faithful when it don't make no sense. He's faithful. He's faithful. It's important to understand that God he's in control. And I want you to catch this, that fact should dominate our entire perspective. This is the God who gave us life when he put us on this earth, and and the one who will receive us when we leave this earth. Ain't that a pretty picture when you think about Ma Jackson and when you think about Sister Kim? Ain't that a pretty picture that Friday morning, Lord have mercy, Friday morning, Kim took a trip. Lord have mercy. And when she got to the gates, God, she got to see with a Jesus with his arms stretched wide. I think they said, come to the altar. It's hard to stay sad. In fact, we got to get to the point. I don't know about none of y'all, but my faith is to the point to where I'm lightweight jealous. Yeah. I'm lightweight jealous. I'm still down here having to deal with the mess. I'm still down here having to deal with all this. I'm still down here trying to figure it all out. But Friday morning. And what's so deep, I heard Whitney say 6:39 was the last text I got. Listen, you got to say bye to your baby. You good? I'm good. Let's go. Baby, I'm here. Come on. Come on. You've been through enough. It's been crazy for the last couple of years. And this is enough of what I'm going to put you through. And the arms are stretched wide. God. And if you ever lost somebody, you ought to just go ahead and put your hands together and thank God that you know that when they got to where he was, his arms were stretched wide and they were embraced by the greatest love of all. I know Whitney Houston told you the greatest love is to love yourself, but I beg to differ, baby. I think that the greatest love that you could ever experience is when you in the arms of Jesus. And if you ever lost somebody that you love, you ought to just go ahead and clap your hands and thank you, God, that your arms was open wide. This is the God who, I'm talking about the God who broke into history to bring salvation to the world. This is the God who has shown us nothing but love through his son, Jesus. This is the God who is able to break down. You see them walls? You see them walls over there? There's someone you had? This is the God that is able to break down the walls that separate people and forgives our sins and gives us the hope of being with him eternally. This is the God. So in this life, we might have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but God will walk with us, and not only will he walk with us, but he will bring us through it. He won't always bring us out of it, but he will bring us through it. Oh, God, I ain't looking to get out of it. I'm looking to be brought through it, because as I'm being brought through it, I'm being brought closer to him. I don't know about nobody else in here, but I ain't afraid. I ain't worried about getting out of it. I want to be brought through it. Yes, he will. There's something to learn along the journey. There's something to learn when I'm going through hell. There's something to learn when I feel like I'm going to lose my mind, and I'm just blessed that God promises to bring me through. Some people, for all of us, when we lose a loved one, life might seem like it's hopeless right now. Watch this. But the people of God live with hope. Watch this. And that hope is so dope that it influences the very core of our being. Whitney, go ahead, cry right now, baby. But be mindful that deep down on the inside of you, there springs a hope that in the midnight hour, when you're tossing and turning and can't seem to get no sleep, the Bible says you have a brother that is closer than a friend. And in the midnight hour, he'll wrap his arms around you, and all of a sudden you was like this, but all of a sudden you get like this. He said, cast, Kenneth, he said, cast all your cares upon me. Melinda, cast all your cares upon me, for I care about you. Can I just go ahead and say, God wouldn't tell you to cast them if he wasn't going to do something with them. mama, he said, I've bottled every tear. They trying to figure out after all those years of marriage, how you still in your right mind, how you still wake up and be beautiful, because you understand that deep down on the inside, there's a hope that flows within you that gives you peace that surpasses all understanding. Listen, it's not time to give up. You hear me? It ain't time to give up. No. It ain't time to give in. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because of Jesus' resurrection, watch this, death has been swallowed up in victory. Therefore, he says, watch this, be steadfast, be immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. We ain't doing this for no reason. It's for something. God gives my sister Stacy McDonald one time said, baby, you just got to preach your way through it. Sometimes you got to shout your way through it. Sometimes you got to cry your way through it. Sometimes you got to crawl your way through it. Sometimes you got to limp your way through it. Sometimes you even doubt your way through it. But it's something about that hope. Somebody say hope. It's something about that hope that dwells deep down like a living water. Oh, God, I heard it was. A living water that gives nourishment to your souls when hell's got you depleted. God gives you hope. God gives hope. We gonna be all right. Every last one of us in this room done experience loss on some level. And I just come by to tell you that we gonna be all right. God gives hope. And because of that hope, even in times like this, we understand that life still has meaning and direction. Finally, there is yet one other thought that we need to consider. And find in the last words of this paragraph where it says, watch this, therefore, comfort, watch this, there's another word that can be used there. Therefore, comfort or encourage one another with these words. Here Paul points out how important the members of this congregation are to each other. They bring comfort. That's what we do, amen. We bring comfort to each other. I didn't even have to go on the men's thread. You understand what I'm saying to you? Folks, and I bless God that I got a group of men that don't wait on me. You understand what I'm saying to you? And brothers begin to say, hey, Kenneth, hey, man, I'm praying for you, man. You know what I'm saying? And they knew how to bless him and didn't shut up. They didn't push it. They didn't pull it out. They wasn't, you know what I'm saying? They wasn't looking for sympathy points. Amen. Hey, I'm praying for you. I had a brother, I think Nicholas prayed for him over the thing. Willie prayed for him over the thing. See, you got to understand as a congregation, I called Kenneth yesterday because I wasn't able to get over there, but he said, oh, the saints is sitting over here with me now. You understand what I'm saying to you? When we're going through the belly of the beast, we've got to have each other. We got to have each other. You understand what I'm saying to you? Kim taught us that. Amen. I remember when Joe died, my cousin, my heart and my soul died, and we were sitting in the office and we was trying to get some things done, and all of a sudden my hand just began to quiver and I was beginning to have a breakdown, and she got on the phone before she even came to comfort me, and she got on the phone and she canceled every meeting and she shut Bible study down, and she got around me and put her arms on me and she didn't say a word. Don't you know that every now and again, Kenneth just gonna need you to come over and just go. I don't need no words. I don't have to be deep. I ain't got to speak in tongues. I ain't got to tell him it's going to be all right. Every now and then, just go up to him and... We comfort one another. We be there for one another. And what happens in times like this, we grow closer. You understand what I'm saying to you? I can trust you with my hell when we grow closer. I can break down, sob, and let tears flow when I can trust you, when I know that you've got my back, when I know you standing 10 toes down for me, when I know if I call, you're going to pick up the phone. If I text, you're going to ride up to the crib. If I know that I can trust you. So we grow together. It's not just a community, but a family, through comforting one another, through being there for one another. The Bible says, rejoice as they rejoice. And everybody ain't got no problem with high-fiving their neighbor when everything is good. But there's another part of that verse that says, but mourn as they mourn. So right now, on the strength that you're feeling down, that's all right. Kenneth's feeling down. He's strong, but he's down. Whitney's feeling down. She believes, but she's down. Melinda is down. She puts on a good face, but she's down. Mama still goes through it from time to time, all the time, truth be told. But she's, and most people don't see the hell that she goes through, but she's down. And when you've been hit like we have been hit, it's all right to be down. But what you need to know is you ain't down by yourself. Community. You got family. Comfort ye one another with these words. We gonna be all right. It hurts right now. Heart feels like it's been ripped out the chest. But we gonna be all right. Hard to get out of the bed sometimes. But we gonna be all right. Sometimes we look for strength, and it feels like strength can't be found. But I promise, he's the God of our strength. He's the God of our hope. He's the God of our peace. And on the strength of that, we're gonna be all right. Listen, all over the building, stand to your feet. Let's pray. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, we're gonna be all right. Turn to your other neighbor. Tell them, we're going to get through this. we come to you today. And God, you know everything. Nothing has got past you. God, we come with hearts this heavy. And at this point in time, God, if we're just being real, we're just trying to make it through. God, we know that you said in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us. God, I hear you. I hear you, Holy Spirit, saying, tell Melinda, tell Whitney that I'm a mother to the motherless. Clint, I'm a father to the fatherless. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. Makora, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God, he delivers us out of them all. God, we thank you that you don't leave us down here without hope. God, we thank you that you don't leave us down here without strength. God, we thank you that you don't leave us down here without your love. God, we thank you that with everything that you've got going on in the world, you don't forget about little old us. We thank you, God, that in the midst of trials and tribulations, we can count on you. When people let us down, we can count on you. When our will seems weak, we can count on you. You told us to cast everything that we're going through on you. You said, 'cause you care for us. So when I'm knocked no lower than my knees, I just got to remember that you care for me. You're there for me. You won't leave me struggling by myself and on my own. And sometimes, God, humans don't know what to say. Sometimes, Lord, humans, we don't know what to do. But I heard somewhere that you're a present help in time of trouble. You're a right now God when everything is going haywire in our lives, God. You're a right now God when we can't make sense of things that's going on around us. You're a right now God. And we're grateful. God, we're grateful. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Broken in a million pieces, but we thank you. Hurting like never before, but we thank you. Thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, God. God, we thank you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. He is good. Oh, give thanks. Thank you. words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Come on. Oh Lord, my strength. Come on. And my redeemer. I dare you say it. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name that's above all names. It's the name that one day every knee shall bow. Yeah. It's in your name that we pray. Jesus' name. Somebody say his name. I dare you declare it all over the building. Jesus. It's in that name. It's in that name. It's in that name. It's in that name I get my strength. It's in that name I get my power. It's in that name that I keep on keeping on. It's in that name. Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen. 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 And amen. Listen.